Good morning. It is Danger Dan here in the Danger Dan's Talk Shop Studios. Recently back from Daytona, where I had an epic week on the beach. Got to see Supercross, Choppers Magazine, Lead Sled Custom Bike Show with the Harley Davidson footprint. I got to go to Warren Lane's show at the Iron Horse, and then I bailed out quick. Before that, I was in Milwaukee at the Mama Tried show and Flat Out Friday, and it was fucking incredible, like it always is. The city of Milwaukee is so welcoming, and this time they did not disappoint. Even the museum, you know, had open arms, where we actually recorded today's podcast. Me, Scott, Warren, and Jeremy. Wish I remembered his alter ego name he used in this podcast, but it was incredible. Chris, I am going to get your name right before I butcher it. Ripstein. Chris Ripstein put together 20 questions for us of Harley Davidson motorcycle trivia. And, dude, it was fucking so much fun. Now, this podcast was recorded with a camera as well. And it is on the Mom and Tried Flat Out Friday YouTube channel. I will have a link in the description of this podcast where you can go watch this entire episode. Brian from Geared Science added a laugh track, a studio audience. It's pretty funny. It's really funny. I was wearing my suit that I got custom made in Kathmandu with Motorcycle Sherpa on our trip through the Himalayas. Warren is wearing an MC shop tee when we featured his shop, Junior Cycle Products. And Scott's just looking fucking good, you know. He is just looking sharp. And Jeremy's got on, he's wearing a suit as well. He did some bits for Harley Davidson. They did like this, like a shopping spree giveaway thing, videos that they put out during the Christmas holiday push for Harley Davidson gear. And anyways, he's playing a bit the whole time. It's fucking great. It's great. He brought his own microphone that he doesn't know it, but we never plugged in, you know. It's fun. So if you enjoy this audio, go watch the video because it's pretty stinking hilarious. Now, as I was, you know, this is our first go at it. I wasn't sure what kind of questions Chris was going to come up with. You know, I gave him an idea of what I wanted and he ended up nailing it. But for me to find that out, I had to review the questions myself. So on the next podcast or in the future, I will release the episode where my neighbor, Goyo, he read the questions to me, and it's quite hilarious. We also did some whiskey tasting that night, and yeah, I think y'all will enjoy it, even though you know the answers to all the questions, or maybe you won't. I'll give it a few weeks. That way, maybe you forget, and we can retest your scores. Anyways, I would love to hear what you guys get on this podcast. So when I make a post in a day or so, after you've listened to it, maybe post your scores up. Let me know what you got. I'll be interested to hear. I did not do very well, as you'll hear. The danger index was 4 points for this show. But let's get into this podcast. Like all shows, this show is brought to you by MCShopTees.com, your t-shirt of the month club, the only way to support every local motorcycle shop. That's right. Each month we feature a different shop from around the country. We do a one-off limited print t-shirt that is only available through MC Shop Tees. So go sign up now before you miss another month's t-shirt. This month's featured shop is Nick's Choppers out of Birmingham, Alabama. And we got gorgeous George. You know, even though Nick does some amazing art for his own t-shirts, and he does some amazing art for some of the shops I feature. He was like, I don't want to do my art for my own featured t-shirt. And I was like, sick. So we got Gorgeous George to put one out there for us, and he killed it. Nick was stoked. I was stoked. George was stoked. I know that you will be stoked. As long as you're a subscriber and you were already signed up before the end of last month, it's fucking wicked. So don't miss out on another shirt. Go to mcshoptees.com. If you want to support the show, but you don't want any t-shirts, go to DangerDansTalkShop.com. There is a Patreon support link. And from there, you can donate $5 a month, which really helps keep this show on the road. Each month, I try and give away a $100 gift card to Lowbrow Customs. They support me, and they will support you, too. Trust me, not only do they support me, they support a lot of makers from around this country, from Lead Sled Customs to Martian Machine. It's an incredible company. Tyler and his family do an amazing job running that, and I'm stoked to represent them. So go to lowbrowcustoms.com and check it out. Motorcycle Sherpa is a big supporter of the show. Motorcycle Sherpa does expeditions all over Nepal, India, and Mongolia, and they're actually spreading their operations worldwide to some other places. It's an incredible expedition. I never thought I would enjoy doing stuff like that with a big group of people I don't know, but I have fucking loved it. If you've been listening to this show for any amount of time, you've heard the road shows from overseas. It's incredible. He's got some shows coming up. Actually, not some shows. He's got some expeditions coming up. He's starting one right now in Nepal, so you're too late for that one. But go to MotorcycleSherpa.com and check out the next round of trips he's got coming up. You will not regret it. As always, check out my buddy, Knives Made by Nick. Fucking killer cat. Make some badass knives. You need one on your hip. As far as shows coming up, the Outbound Train will be playing Nitty Gritty Chopper City next weekend. I believe that is March 23rd. I actually fucked it all up and thought it was this weekend, which this weekend is actually the Prowl in Bisbee, Arizona. So hopefully you are going to that. After that, in April, we got the Texas Fandango, which is going to be so fucking killer at the Gillespie County Fairgrounds in Fredericksburg, Texas. May, we got the Tennessee Motorcycle Music Revival. Dude, and there's a bunch of killer events for the rest of the year. Keep paying attention. Here is the Flat Out Friday. Mama Try, Danger Dan, Harley Davidson Museum Trivia Game Show.
It's the Mama Try Game Show, coming to you live from the Harley Davidson Museum.
Get that microphone up there. Good to hear. Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. One, two. Hello, my name is Jeremy.
That's not even hooked up.
That's the bit.
Thanks for having us. Hi.
Dude, thank you for having me. First off, I want to thank the Harley Davidson Museum for letting us take over this beautiful exhibit.
100%.
I want to thank you guys for including me in this exhibit. Oh, shit. Really?
Look at this. On cue.
I didn't even realize what we were
looking
doing
a lot
right
fresher.
There.
You were looking a lot fresher back then, Dan. I don't know.
What was that, 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Chris.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us, and specifically, thank you for providing us with these questions. You know, I originally did this because I wanted to be a part of this panel here, and I kind of fucked that up.
You're doing great.
What are we doing, by the way?
So you guys hit me up. You know, last year I came up and did some podcasts for you during the event, and you asked me to come back, and I was like, that's great, but you guys have got to be a part of this. And I've, like, had this dream of doing a trivia show, you know? And I thought, what a great opportunity to take advantage of the museum and learn some things and show everybody how little y'all know about Harley Davidson and motorcycles.
Much appreciated.
What level are we talking here?
Chris, what level would you say these questions are at?
Well, we had a meeting. We talked about it. And ultimately, he was looking for stuff that would induce conversation. Mm-hmm. And these definitely will. Mm-hmm. I will say most of the answers, if they stump you, as soon as you hear the answer, you're going to go.
I knew that. Got it.
So on a 1 to 10.
10 being the toughest?
Yeah.
Yes.
9.
You.
No, there's
going to
be some softballs to keep it entertaining.
Yeah, right, that's what they called me in high school.
But I will say, listen to the question fully.
Okay.
All right.
All right, so I got it. The Danger Dan index is 4.
Okay.
I took this test already, and I got 4 out of 20 correct.
Out of 20?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Here's the end of Flat Out Friday.
Most of them, when I heard the answer, I was like, oh, I should have known that.
All right.
Those guys will definitely not know this, but I should have known. Anyways, without further ado, let's get into this.
All right.
So we arranged these questions into 4 different categories: faces and places, custom culture, laws and regulations, and Harley history.
Mm. Could I have period correct fasteners for 20?
Okay. Some of them are multiple choice. Some of them are true or false.
Mm. Always
some
be.
Some of them are just fill in the blank.
Thank you.
You guys have dry erase boards in front of you. You write your answer down. Don't share it with your friend.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay.
And then once everybody's written their answer down, they'll ask you to show your answer to our friend Brian over there.
No, Brian.
And show the rest of the world
how little we know.
Is everybody ready to go?
Yes.
Let's do this.
All right. The first trivia question today is from the faces and places category. And it is a fill in the blank. There's not going to be options. It's not true or false. On March 13th, 1937, Joe Petrolli famously set a land speed record of 136.183 miles per hour on a 1936 EL factory streamliner at this location. Yeah, I was quick too on this one. Got it wrong.
That's a tough one.
Whoa, you guys are already sharing answers.
I want to see what he's writing down.
Yeah, exactly. That's going to be good.
Put it flat down on the table so that I know that you guys have answered your questions.
The spelling? Is there a takeout for spelling?
If I can decipher from here.
Yeah. Because if spelling is a thing, there's not going to be any correct answers.
With those glasses on, I can't imagine how you could spell anything
Aren't you
wrong.
A teacher?
Okay, well, I'm being exposed at 2 sides. And I don't feel safe in the space.
Do you have an answer, Jeremy?
You want me to go first?
No, I want you to lay it on the table just so I know.
I can't change it. Okay, I'll change it. I appreciate that. Yes. There's some sanctity
now
here.
You guys can show me your answers.
Yes, so I will show you.
Show the studio audience.
We got El Mirage from Warren. We got Bonneville from Scott. And we have...
Benadryl.
You can't read that?
Could you write a little smaller? Are you planning on putting all the answers on here?
That's what I was trying to
do. Oh, you're going to stack them all up? All right.
Oh, okay. I like that.
Bonneville.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So nobody got this answer correct.
Dang.
It is Daytona Beach.
Oh. Red.
Which isn't even skinny or something.
I mean, it started in Ormond, like right next door to Daytona from what I looked at. But Chris... tell us more about land speed racing
at
Daytona.
You're not far off, but you're thinking of someone different at Bonneville. But we do have the bike upstairs. It's very famously built, and a lot of the characteristics of it still today resonate with drag racers. But he actually did break the record by taking the tail section off.
Wow.
Because when he was hitting over 100 miles an hour, it was vibrating way too violent. But yeah.
On sand.
Bike. It's neat. It resonates with a lot of what you guys are doing today with... you know, Mama
it's a sweet bike.
Yeah.
In fact, if you go look at the fairing, it's actually half a gas tank that's been reformed.
Really?
Oh, really?
Fairing. People don't know that.
Does it have like a cone front on it?
It's very small. Obviously, they should. Yeah. About the size of a gas tank, but it's been kind of more reworked to be more uniform left to right.
Cool.
Yeah.
Has it been in the museum for a while?
Yes.
When you see it, you'll be like,
it's a teal one upstairs.
Yeah.
What's the gentleman's name that did this?
Joe Petrelli.
Joe Petrelli.
Okay. Yeah. But wait, here, just real quick. Here's my question. Back to you, though. Of the, if you were to put drag racing speed gain on a chart, it seems as though this gentleman has you know, exponentially made a great gain. And then since 1936, mm-hmm. I don't think we've made those gains. You know what I'm saying? Because the speed.
It was exponential at that time.
But then it must have capped. He must have capped. You know what I'm saying?
The well, science. To be on a beach, it's different, right? And then sand is it to be on, I mean, like, a dry lake bed. Saying,
to an extent. But, I mean, even think earlier to the board track days, right? Even within the first decade of us being around, we were breaking 100 miles an hour on the board track.
I appreciate that.
Which is insane.
Yeah.
And then since then, we haven't, like, gotten that tires. Much faster.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. That's my point.
It's the thermal efficiencies, right? So it's a certain temperature, you're going to cap out in power. That's it.
Yeah.
Did you get that right?
No.
Good.
No.
Okay,
I
good.
Did not get that right.
What did you say?
I like how you're keeping your score 0-1. And we got some hard going on all already, right. Dude.
Doodle bugs.
This is great. Okay. Hey, that was good.
All right.
Let's move on to question number 2. This is custom culture. You guys should definitely get this. Yeah.
A lot of shudders in life, man. Just because
there's
we
a lot of shudders right now in that senior. Though evidence shows signs of customizing as early as the 1920s, the bobber craze became popular after this world-altering event.
Is it moon?
We're in for a long one, Dan. We are in for a long one.
There's a little competition going here, though.
Okay,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I could make wrong answers all day long and make jokes about them. That'll get me so far. But I'm in it.
All right. We ready? Show your answer.
Yeah?
Warren doesn't want to play that way. Oh, I love it. World War II.
Okay, I'm swearing.
Yeah, this was the world-altering event. And Warren put picture of a guy on a bike with...
beer.
Oh. Beer cans. Oh!
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Oh. He's like,
Scott said Hollister.
Hollister, yeah.
Jeremy was that, said you got World it. War yeah. I. We were
what was
so
the year
close.
You said, though?
World War II.
Yeah, but what was the year of
no.
this?
He didn't.
Though evidence shows signs of customizing as early as the 1920s.
That's where I got
the bobber craze became popular after this world-altering event.
Got you. All
that's
right. Fair enough. Fair game.
I could, a half point, okay?
Yeah.
I'm giving myself a half
no,
point.
No, you can't. No, there's no half point.
He went the other way.
You did say listen to the you
yeah,
listen to the
did
question.
Go the other way.
Semantics are important.
There are no half points.
Listen, yeah.
Let me tell you guys a thing or two. Semantics are important.
What are you giving them half a point?
I can't even spell semantics.
Yeah, he's definitely not getting
that. I mean, a lot of the same players in both.
What was the club that did the Hollister thing?
The Booze Fighters.
Booze Fighters.
Booze Fighters. Moon,
I was the Moonshiners.
Nah, Booze Fighters.
Booze Fighters.
Close enough.
Yeah, whatever.
But the what were the Galloping Goose? They were Galloping Geese's. Whatever, they were in there somewhere, right? Or that after?
I don't know.
Whatever.
But the Booze Fighters
next
were the first
question.
One. The one, the Hollister gang.
It wasn't Hollister.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
We lied. We failed.
When did that happen in like 52, 60? When did Hollister happen?
I want to say it was like right after the war, like 47, 46. No, it couldn't have been that close.
No,
maybe it was 52. Maybe
but it was definitely
a bit
the,
of time.
The guys that were
it was
there.
All those dudes, yeah.
Customizing
they were like,
that were creating that custom
yeah,
scene, I think.
Yeah. But they came. The whole thing started because they came home from war and they were just like boring
mm-hmm.
and they wanted to get together with their buddies. They were all riding bikes while they were over there.
Yeah.
And they had this brotherhood and camaraderie.
There's
and
lots
that's,
of 45s.
Yep. Yep. Exactly.
With too much stuff on them.
Yep. Exactly.
How did
so
Dan,
that reminded
how did Dan
me.
Do on this question?
Do what?
How did you do on this question?
I got this one right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
3 for 20.
But here's the deal. I wasn't sitting in the museum. And this reminds me that if you'll look around, like even from this seat, you will get some help on some answers.
Hey, Brian, how about some sign language, you know, like the catcher to
no,
the
I
pitcher?
Already, I've been making sure.
Tim?
I can't even see them.
I was accused of wanting to help my friend.
All right, let's move on. The next category is Harley history.
Yeah, this is mine.
The 1980 Wide Glide was the first Harley-Davidson big twin to boast this style rear fender.
Um,
Jesus. Put me on the spot.
Yeah. That's what we're doing here.
It's the...
Oh, Scott's got some confidence over there with a smirk on his face. I can't wait to
no,
see what he's
I've written every answer down with this much confidence. You've been proven wrong every single time.
Jeremy's still riding as small as possible.
I already know my answer's wrong now that I think about it.
Let's see some stokes, Scott.
Does it have a name?
Dang,
we put him up?
Are we putting him up?
No, Warren's still confused over here.
He's drawing pictures.
King of customization.
Yeah. All right. Yeah.
Yeah.
That works.
I know Warren's right. I got it wrong. Because this is pre. I'm pre 1980.
So you want to know the name of this fin? Is that right?
Name of the fender.
Fender. Yeah. Oh, I got it.
Okay. Show me your answers.
That's a 1958 Dolphin.
Dolphin. Okay. Scott says a Super Glide boat tail, and Warren says flip, and then has
a nice picture
of a bobtail fender.
He
correct?
Does.
Bobtail.
Okay. He does.
Bobtail fender is the answer.
Wait a minute. I didn't get it right though.
He didn't get it right.
No.
Well, he knew what it was at least.
Oh, I mean, I'm gonna defer that to Chris. What do you think?
It's tempting because I see what he did. But I could also say that that is a Scat Fender from the early 60s, which is an upswept, and that is not what we were looking for. Oh.
That's it.
I wouldn't have taken it anyways. I didn't write down the name of it.
Failure.
What'd you call it? Bobtail?
Bobtail.
Bobtail. Huh.
Yeah, that's what I wrote. But I just spelled it wrong.
That was 70-71.
I thought that's how you spell Bob.
Yeah. Okay.
All right, number four, another one from Harley history. 1928 was the first year Harley-Davidson motorcycles were equipped with this important component. Now, this is multiple choice.
Wait, say one more time.
All right. 1928 was the first year Harley-Davidson motorcycles were equipped with this important component. A, recirculating oil pump. B, taillight. C, front brake. D, mufflers. 1928 was the first year Harley-Davidson motorcycles were equipped with this important component. A, recirculating oil pump. B, taillight. C, front fender. Or D, muffler.
See how confident I'm writing down my wrong answer.
I mean, Jeremy, this is multiple choice, and he's having more trouble with this than
this is my only chance to win. This is my only chance to go in for the lead.
I'm seeing an 0 for 20 across the board.
I'm changing.
Oh, wow. 0 for 20.
Yeah. I'm put Bunny on that.
Yeah.
Side bets.
That's not right.
Oh, dude.
That's not right. Do it again. I knew that one.
Thanks, pal. Like, thank you.
I picked that one. Let's let's spread our chances out so maybe somebody gets something right.
Okay.
All right, Jeremy's got an answer. Show me your answers, fellas.
I'm going with front brake, Danger Dan.
Front brake.
I am too.
Front brake from Warren and tail light from Scott. Front brake it is.
All right.
The recirculating oil pump was on the 36 engine, knucklehead engine. The taillight came, electric lighting first appeared in 1915. And the mufflers, well, Harley-Davidson always had mufflers.
Yeah. Hmm. Well, let me ask you this. I already know the answer to this, but for those people that might not know, what was going on before the circulating oil pump? Do you know what I mean?
The recirculating.
Recirculating.
Yeah. It was a total loss system.
Huh.
Didn't you have a manual pump on the handlebars, right?
Yeah. But it was a total loss system. You'd have to drain it. Your crankcase would fill up.
They come with a little cup and a gas tank. And
you'd have to drain it how often?
Depends on how often you ride.
Well, you could have answered every 100 miles.
No, because you have to, otherwise it would just keep filling up, right?
Yes.
So you have to.
It would drain even if it was parked.
All right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thank you. I mean, I knew that.
Yeah, it was the knucklehead. The first one had the horseshoe oil tank.
Duh.
It was a dry shunt. Circulated back to the tank.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
One for four.
Hey, we got points on the board.
Yeah. All right. We're doing good. Nice. We're doing good.
Yes.
All right, four. So now we're on to number five.
Dan, you could have been a teacher. Look at you.
Laws and regulations. This is right up your alley.
And that is why you are not a teacher. Laws and regulations.
This is true or false. You got a 50% chance on this. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I need the odds.
T or an F. There are currently more than a dozen states that adhere to the Red Dead laws. Red Dead is in quotes. Which legally allows motorcyclists to safely proceed through a red light if their vehicle does not trip the sensor.
Okay, so read that again because I want to make sure I got this.
This is true or false.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There are currently more than a dozen states that adhere to the Red Dead laws, which legally allows motorcyclists to safely proceed through a red light if their vehicle does not trip the sensor. True or false? Let's see them. We got a true from Warren, true from Scott, and a true from Jeremy. 3 for 3. Yeah, motorcyclists must come to a complete stop and treat it as a stop sign for it to be a legal action. I had no idea this law existed.
I didn't either.
Never heard
of it. It makes
really.
Sense, though.
Yeah, but it makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I was wondering, I'm sitting there at the stoplight and like,
yeah, it's not
going
good.
Nowhere.
You good?
Yeah.
Is Wisconsin one?
Sure is.
Awesome.
Of course.
Perfect.
Really?
So all these years.
Oh, I don't know off the top of my head. A lot of them Midwest, though.
Really?
Yeah. Huh. I mean, it was deemed a lot of regulations figured out that it's actually dangerous to be sitting there for a long time.
So. Oh, absolutely.
But the key is you had to come to a complete stop. You can't roll through it.
Mm. Yeah.
I mean, red dead.
Red dead.
If you're in a red light, great. You're liable to be dead.
Yeah.
But so in, let's just say, the good people of Arkansas that don't have this law, you're expected to sit there all day.
Until somebody shows up.
Make a right-hand turn.
Oh, yeah, right hand and then go around.
Hmm.
Huh. Good people
legally.
Of Arkansas.
That's awesome. I'm feeling so
much
better.
Why
does it got
to be Arkansas?
They're good
people. How do you know?
They're good people. And I'm just assuming that
I would have went California.
Their motorcycle laws are not as progressive as Wisconsin's.
All right, 2 for 5.
Yep.
Huh.
Okay.
All right.
That puts us on to question number 6, and we're back to faces and places.
Yeah, this is mine.
This is a good one. This is you. On the cover of the 1956 May issue of The Enthusiast, Elvis Presley is seen sitting on top of his Pepper Red 1956 KH. Who gave Elvis this motorcycle? Multiple choice. A, James Dean. B, Priscilla Presley. C, Harley Davidson Motor Company. Or D, none of the above. All right, we got a confident answer by Warren and Jeremy.
That's a real confident answer.
Scott, you like it? Let's see him.
B, his wife
by Warren. D, for Scott. And
not A.
That's none of the above.
That's D.
Oh, or D.
Not A is what I see. It's a multiple choice, dude. A, B, C, or D.
None of the above.
Not A.
It's not a D either?
No, it's D with,
with an A.
A semicolon, or is that a...
Nota.
None of the above.
I mean... How do you feel about that?
I mean,
that
he's
one?
Correct. It is not A.
It is not A. The answer is D.
None of the above.
Well, you didn't have that out there.
No, I did.
You had not A.
No.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah, you said not A, which is a James Dean.
Yeah,
which is
that's
James.
Exactly what we're doing.
Yeah, which is James Dean.
I want to say he bought his first motorcycle. He wasn't given to him, so that was the trick answer.
But the,
it does say none of the above. And it also says
that
not
says
A.
Not A.
I want you to know. Okay, we're taking this to the judges.
I mean, because
I erased the middle vowel because I spelled it wrong. Okay, so look at the clue.
Look, it's a clue.
I thought it was N A T A.
Capital N, Lowercase O, lowercase T.
No, it's not lowercase. It's small.
And then uppercase
Ooh,
A.
I see,
not
I
A.
see what you're saying now.
No, it does stand for none of the above.
Mm-hmm. It does,
yeah,
but the way he wrote it,
yeah,
it says.
The way he wrote it, it says
it was
not
all
A.
caps. It would have been.
Have you guys ever had a text message conversation with Lee Atwater over here?
Because, is that consistent?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay. All right, yes, the answer is none of the above.
Yeah, that's
James
right,
James Dean died in 1955. Priscilla Presley was 11 years old in 1956, mm-hmm. 3 years before she met Elvis. Harley Davidson didn't have any influencers back then. Elvis bought the bike himself.
Awesome.
That's what I thought.
All right, cool.
Let's all go. Right, so we got
right. Come on.
So how did I know one
that?
In a,
how did
a
I know that?
How did you know that?
Because I read a
oh,
bunch
then
of books
we'll
on Elvis.
Give it to him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, give it to him. He's not going to get any.
How did he have motorcycles before that?
Well, no, I mean, he was poor, but yeah. You know, he had many things that he spent his money on. Racquetball, he was really into racquetball, he was really into motorcycles.
He was into racquetball?
Yeah, what's the racquetball where you have the house like the with the and it bounces off the walls.
Yes.
That's racquetball,
that's,
right?
That's
yeah,
racquetball.
Yeah. Kind of like house. They do pickleball now.
No, yes,
the court.
Yeah, no, it's something it's not. For old people that like don't want to run around right. too much.
And he was really into karate, like these things that he had never he was living out his childhood fantasies.
Yeah.
Because
which
he was
is what
poor.
You do when you get low.
Have you played racquetball?
Money.
Yeah.
You have to run all over the place.
It's yeah, a small it's a little court.
It doesn't
dude.
Matter.
It's pretty big.
You got to go all over the place.
Kind of.
Fine. Next question.
All right, number
before
seven.
Before we get to this next question, though, Dan, can you read the – can we do a price check? Can we do a score check?
Yeah,
we
you
will.
Mean you
we want will.
To know who's
I just wanted. I just I forgot. There's
point.
A lot going on here. If you could just read me the score
yeah,
here.
Yeah, I will. Once we get there. Oh. We got. It's already built in.
It's a lot of ins, a lot of outs.
And if you get talking to your microphone, we're yeah, having trouble getting your levels over there.
Sorry about that.
Number seven. Faces and Places. Harley Davidson racing legend Leslie Parkhurst from the famed Wrecking Crew was known more famously by this nickname.
Is this true or false?
Multiple choice?
No, you have to write this down.
Can you say it again?
Harley Davidson racing legend Leslie Parkhurst. Am I saying that correctly?
You
Parkhurst?
Are. Yeah.
From the famed Wrecking Crew was known more famously by this nickname.
When are we going to get some hard ones, Dan?
Yeah. I love how concerned Jeremy is with anybody seeing his answer. When are we going to get some? Don't worry, they're coming.
Okay.
All right, let's see your answer. Warren has Velvet Hammer. I mean, that's a good one.
Not bad.
Jimbo from Scott.
Yeah. It was Nasty Leslie.
Nasty Leslie.
Yeah.
Wow. Of course it was. No, it's actually Red.
Oh. Red.
I mean, yeah, Velvet
oh,
Hammer.
Velvet Hammer.
Could have also accepted Smiling Red because his signature smile. Did he have, like, such a signature smile?
Was he a redhead?
He was. You wouldn't know it because the photos are black and white, but he was a redhead.
Wait, tell me this about his signature. His signature would smile? His signature was to smile.
Yeah,
he had a signature smile.
Okay,
was he the guy holding the pig
for the smiling?
Got it, got it.
Didn't they hold? Did he hold the pig?
No, that was maybe that was him. I want to say it was Ray Weiss here.
All right, next question number eight: Custom Culture. And this is also a fill in the blank. Though it was scrutinized the first few decades after the 1969 cult classic movie Easy Rider was released, this African-American is credited as being the builder of Captain America and Billy Bikes in later years.
Do you get half a point for the
nope.
half a name?
No. You already made this clear early on. There's no half points.
So we're naming the movie.
No, you're naming the builder of the motorcycles. The actual
read it to
builder.
Me again.
I'm sorry I'm making this confusing on you. Though it was scrutinized the first few decades after the 1969 cult classic movie Easy Rider was released.
Yes.
This African-American is credited as being the builder of Captain America and Billy Bikes in later years.
Okay, got it, got it. I'm trying to find, again, the clue within the question. Okay? So that's why I'm...
I mean, there is a clue.
There's a clue.
That's why I'm...
Say it again.
See? See?
That's the longest question we got.
Though it was scrutinized the first few decades after the 1969 cult classic movie Easy Rider was released, this African-American is credited as being the builder of Captain America and Billy Bikes in later years. There's a lot of prepositions mm-hmm. in that one.
Oh, English
I feel
major.
Like I'm doing pretty good. Mm-hmm. That's a tough one.
My brain is drawing a total blank, and this is a shot in the dark. But
looks like Jeremy's got it.
When are we gonna get to a hard one, Dan? I've seen her almost an hour, and I'm still in the lead. Just saying.
This is embarrassing. I don't know this one.
I don't know this one either.
We all good?
We are really good.
Show us the answers.
Was that Freddie?
Biddy question mark from Warren.
Yeah.
Sugar Bear from Scott.
Yeah. Isn't that Freddie?
Freddie from Jeremy. And the answer is Ben Hardy.
What did you put?
I'm going to give that one to Warren.
Yeah?
Well, that was what he was known as Benny.
Benny?
Yeah.
All right, I'll take it.
Yeah. All right.
There we go. Well,
I am not going to complain, but I'm just saying he didn't put Benny.
Well, it's because
I'm going to say that I'm tired with you.
So I was talking to Sugar Bear last summer, and I guess Ben Hardy was accepted into the Motorcycle Hall of Fame in Sturgis. He accepted the award on his behalf and told everybody that the reason why he didn't get credit wasn't because of any, like, racism. It was because he didn't want to be associated with bikes that white people were riding across the country doing drugs off of.
Oh.
He just didn't want to have anything to do with it. And he built the bikes the first time. And then once he found out that's what they were being used for, he didn't. Like, somebody else had to come in, and I think they built a couple more at some point. Maybe they were stolen. But, yeah, that's why he didn't, you know, that was what he said anyways.
Interesting. All right.
I'm more impressed, I guess. You would think that would be anybody's shot at a fame, right? Once that script came out, building this motorcycle and just, you know.
He was like, I don't have anything to do with it.
He had discredited all of that fame. Smart.
He's like, you're not supposed to put drugs in the gas tank of my choppers. You know?
Yeah, right. I appreciate that.
It's such a bad movie.
It's a really terrible movie.
It's so bad.
If you ever sit down to watch it, it's awful.
Jeremy, what do you have to say about this movie?
Careful, people. Yes. Okay? We have a live studio audience here.
Why can't it be true.
Anybody who's actually sat down to watch it would just be like, I'm going to go do laundry halfway through it.
Oh, no.
Bikes are beautiful.
Yeah.
You know, the best stars of the show.
Yeah. And
does it make you uncomfortable when they pick up Jack and he's just on the back of the bike just as close as it can be, nuts to butts, and they're just stoked going down the road?
It didn't, no. Well, I thought that was great. Like,
there's parts of it, yeah. That part,
I mean,
that
love
was
it when
great.
They're riding side by side on the road.
Yeah, the shots were great. Like the
going to the
like,
hot springs.
All the landscapes
naked,
were great.
Swimming
yeah.
with the ladies.
Yeah. There's
doing
bits
the drugs
that are great.
In New Orleans. Yeah.
The content of the movie is not the bad part. It's the
storyline.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and just like the whole... The whole cadence of the storytelling is just like
okay, but I want to rephrase that. What are we doing here? It isn't that the movie is terrible that you don't like the story writing.
No, it's a beautiful movie if you're just have it on and listening to music and like doing something else. It's like it's beautiful, but like to watch it to sit down and like watch it as a movie, you're just like, what the fuck is happening here? It's beautiful.
In 1969, I bet it was fucking amazing.
Yeah, that's what you have to look at
you
a culturally
think
perspective.
About what those people were having to see in theaters, and then that comes out. I mean, it was the first time they used like pop music in a movie. You know?
Sure.
Before that, it was all just like bands playing music.
Well, yeah, back then it was like a lot of musicals, and it was just like it was just
well,
brand
just
new. It was brand new filmmaking.
Like, you know, build up scenes, like write the music to the movie.
Yeah.
Where they were like, nah, let's put the music that we would want to listen.
Yeah.
To.
Yeah. Well, I mean, everything about filmmaking was changing so much at that time, and so yes, that in that way, the movie was super novel. I mean, just to show drug culture, people with long hair. Motorcycles, rock and roll. No, I mean that was like just like Sugar Bear was saying that he said like that was you know people were just like I don't want to be associated with that. That was like it was pretty. It was when we say counterculture, we just think like oh you know like bike culture or like sort of you know, but it was really outside the norm.
Yeah.
For 95% of the public.
Look like they just are like, over-making this. Yeah. Let's kill these fuckers. Yeah. Go back to California.
In a really abrupt ending.
Violent. I just want to challenge you, just to put a movie like that, that is so iconic, and just call it as terrible. You're not right or wrong necessarily, but you have to put it in cultural perspective.
Yes.
Like any movie of any counterculture, of Crush Groove, about rap music or breakdancing or Thrasher, about skateboarding. Rad, BMX? Those were terrible movies.
Yeah.
But they had such a cultural...
They were better than Easy Rider.
Well, this could be a debate. I appreciate this.
It makes me feel... It makes me feel something. Okay. And you're right. It makes me feel something, and that's a good... A movie is supposed to do that.
Yeah, I wanted to love it because it was all the things that I loved. But you're just like...
Well, I think it gets built up, and then you have a lot of expectations seeing the movies that you saw up until the point when you saw Easy Rider.
Right.
And maybe even experience riding choppers around, And then you're like, when you finally sit down and watch it, you're like, well, this isn't as awesome as I thought it was.
Yeah.
Until the end, I wanted to be those guys.
Until the end?
Yeah.
When they got killed?
So they got whacked. I'm like, yeah.
I mean, I think that just like showed how dangerous it was to be out doing what they were doing,
It was a very,
that could have
it was a very like
point back then. You ride through the wrong square, it still and
can.
They're like,
"It's still, yeah,
it's
yeah.
still can."
Yeah, not as likely.
Not as
no.
likely.
I mean, I've ridden in
not
a lot likely. Of.
Yeah, Danger
places,
Dan would be the authority on this opinion on where you can ride
like
and be safe.
It would be like backcountry towns. Like I would be, it's more like the exiting in the wrong part of the wrong city. Not like out in the country you're rolling through.
Road rage or
but
something.
But back then,
stupid.
But in the deep south, deep rural south, especially eastern south,
accidentally run you off the road and just go up and blow your brains out just to end the situation. just throw them in the truck. We'll get rid of them.
Yeah. What state were they in when it ended?
Louisiana, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe Georgia. Or, they had left New Orleans.
Yeah.
And they were headed east.
Yeah.
I did the Easy Rider route from Alabama. New Mexico down to New Orleans one time. It's not like the movie anymore.
Yeah.
It's not the same. I didn't have drugs in my gas tank either, so.
Boring.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to number 9. We're back to Harley history.
Yes, this is mine.
This is multiple choice. So you got a chance. What year did Harley Davidson first have rear suspension? A, 1942, B, 1948, C, 1958, D, none of the above. Like how I start just rocking back and forth. There's multiple choice.
The cadence is beautiful.
What year did Harley Davidson first have rear suspension? A, 1942, B, 1948, C, 1958, or D, none of the above? Or D, not A.
It's
not A.
D. Yeah.
Not A. All right, show me the answer. Warren says 58. Scott says 58. Dang, Jeremy says 58. I said 58, but I was wrong.
Oh.
It's 1942. You got me on that.
What?
This is a good one.
Really?
No way.
It was on the XA model.
Oh, sure.
The military version.
When
I was reading, they built 1,000 of them just to see what the military would say about them. Mm. And then before they even finished the 1,000, the military was like, we're going to go with Jeeps.
Didn't we just push them off the ship or something?
A lot of them disappeared. I think we had built just over 1,000 for the military, and then there was about 1,000 others floating around. But
in the ocean.
This one is good because everyone goes right to there because we highlighted the dual glide. But that actually, even the dual glide wasn't the first. There was actually 52. The K models had rear suspension.
Oh, wow.
I've got an XA in the shop. I should have known that.
It's got plunger, right? It's got a... Is it plunge?
XA does.
Yeah.
Duh.
It's a good one.
Wow.
It's a good one.
All right. Batting 1,000 over here.
We should have known.
What's your score, Scott?
They're not throwing softballs.
Once we get to 10, we'll go over the scores. Okay.
When we get to the hard ones, just let me know. If you could make an announcement or play a song or something.
Like a hump?
Yeah.
Hey, play
Ring
the drop,
bell.
Brian. All right, number 10. 2012. This is, you guys, you know, this is in y'all's background right here. 2012, Harley-Davidson launched a Sportster model with a moniker to pay homage to this famous state highway, known for its 1970s California custom culture scene.
Is this true or false?
In 2012, listen, this is a little bit difficult to hear exactly what the question is and what you're, you know, there's some clues.
Mm-hmm.
In 2002, Harley-Davidson launched a Sportster model with the moniker to pay homage to this famous state highway known for its 1970s California custom culture scene.
Damn it.
Damn, Scott, you knew that right out of the gate, huh?
I'm really confident that the thing that came to my mind first is not the right answer, but I'm still going to write that down.
So I'm confident also that you weren't going to come up with a better answer.
Yes.
It wasn't any amount of time.
No. It's not like
I am having trouble over here.
In 2012.
Oh, okay, yes.
Harley-Davidson.
Yes.
Yeah, they launched a Sportster model with a moniker to pay homage to this famous state highway, known for its 1970s California custom culture scene.
The name of the model?
I'm not phoning a friend. I'm just zooming in to see if I can root out the clue. Uh-huh. What is the definition of moniker?
Chris.
It was actually the model name.
Semantics.
Okay.
That's the same name as the highway.
Okay.
Okay. Got it.
That's definition of moniker.
Okay. Here we go.
Can you use that in a sentence for me?
Danger.
Yeah. I am ready.
Mr. Danger.
Well, I remember this. I remember this Sportster. I remember the name of this one.
Yeah, hold on. Okay. He's changing his answer. You fucking brought up so many clues.
Because he saw mine.
He was like, oh, of course. All right.
Let's see.
Warren says 48. Scott says 48.
That's the old Milwaukee Road.
Yeah, it's like that's like Copperhead Road. The answer is Highway 72, otherwise known as Whittier Boulevard. Now, I had to look this up
because
I couldn't find any connection between Highway 72 and custom culture. But Highway 72 is a stretch of the 101, which the 101 is a pretty famous, runs the coast. And then they changed like a part of that south of L.A., to 72, right?
Yeah, this is in East. This is really in the heart of East LA.
Okay,
right. A lot of Latin culture there. This is where we can honestly say a lot of the early roots of lowrider and chopper influence took place on Highway 72, Whittier Boulevard.
Wow.
They used to just cruise that street during the day, and they'd race at night for pinks. And yeah, you guys were close because it was about the same year we came out with the 72. But the 48 got its name from something else.
Okay. And that was a couple years earlier, too,
right? Yeah, 1948, that Sportster got its name from 1948, which was the first year for the peanut tank.
Got it.
Oh, that's where the 48 came from.
Mm-hmm. Gotcha.
I honestly can say that I'd never heard of the Highway 72 Sportster.
Yeah.
I have one upstairs. We can go look at it.
I would like to.
Yeah.
Have you heard of that?
Anybody can come here to the museum and look at it, right? It's
not that one.
A different upstairs.
Well, we'll be rotating.
Different upstairs.
Okay.
Yeah.
At some point, it'll be out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's it for the first half of trivia.
All right, now they're going to get – let's get hard here now.
Jeremy.
Yes.
Has been asking for a points recap or what'd you call it?
I forgot what I called it.
Yeah. Chris, can you help us out? How are we doing on scores?
A tie going on between Warren and Jeremy.
This will be embarrassing. Yeah. You can't beat Jeremy.
Next will be the feats of strength.
Yeah, next year everybody.
The second half.
Yeah, can we have push-ups or something like that?
Tell us how many they got right so far out of 10.
So far, both Warren and Jeremy have 3, and Scott's got 2.
Right.
Oh wow, I had 2. I had 2 right. Okay, I thought you were going to give me a goose egg there.
Nice job, Scott.
Yeah, you got 2, man.
I almost had 4. Jeremy, I should be winning.
A lot almost.
If I was not humble, I would be winning.
You're still not going to let down the not A.
Yeah. I don't think we should let that go, but not A.
Not A.
Hmm. Semantics. Anyway, I think we should just power right through this.
Yeah, yeah, I think so. Anybody got the time to be getting
number
wrong answers
11,
all day?
Number 11, we're still in faces and places.
Yes.
I keep leaving out the categories. Not that that's obviously helping you out much, but this is a good one. What is Willie G. Davidson's middle name? Multiple choice. A. George. B. Godfrey. C. Jeffrey. D. Gerald. What is Willie G. Davidson's middle name? By the way, Willie G. Davidson has a new book out. I think it's called Ride Free. Mm-hmm. Is that it?
Mm-hmm. It's a great book.
It's pretty good.
A book, a historical book, right?
He just wrote it recently.
A memoir, if you will.
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Are there a lot of? Is it like a coffee table style book, or is it more of like a more?
It's
more
a good
words.
Easy read.
Yeah,
it's just him talking about his life growing up in the company. And
that's cool.
Yeah.
The first name was called Easy Reader, and then they changed the name of the book.
Warren says Gerald. Scott, what do you say? Gerald. Jeremy says Godfrey.
No, it's Jeffrey.
It says Jeffrey.
Oh, it says Jeffrey.
You're just being ambiguous. You're like a fence straddler with a spelling over here.
It says Jeffrey.
Okay, well, the answer is B, Godfrey.
Oh!
Okay.
You're like, that's what I meant.
It did. I mean, you don't spell Gerald like that.
There's a secret to
Gerald
writing small.
G-E-A-R-O-L-D. That looked like Godfrey.
G-E-A-R?
Thanks for clarifying that for us.
Gerald is G-E-A-R?
G-E-A-R. Like Gerald.
Gerald? Like Gerald?
Gerald.
Ah.
Right?
Really?
Yes.
I'm sure there's a G.
They got a lot of Geralds down in Texas.
So was that like? Was that like thought about ahead of time, Willie G. Davidson, or was that just like a moniker?
I don't know if it's a family name, but the middle name is important, or the middle initial is important, because he's actually the third Willie Davidson in the motor company at that time. His grandfather was the first vice president. He was William A. His father was William H. His great grandfather was William C. Yeah, Willie's the fourth. Bill's be the fifth. But yeah, it was important. Probably at that time, growing up, you know, it's in the factory. They're not going to, oh, how's young William today? They probably just called him William.
Right.
He got stuck.
Yeah.
Wow. That's cool.
Well,
all right.
Score's still the same.
Not
Let's move on to number 12.
I'm just sandbagging on purpose just to let these guys, you know, get the spotlight.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Scott. Yeah.
You're so nice.
Yeah.
Number 12. Oh, this is a good one, you guys.
Yeah, not like those last 12.
Hey, Jeremy, here's the hard one. What model was the Y398? Question number 12, Harley history.
Uh-huh.
What model was the Y398?
So you want me to give you a moniker?
What model...
I'll pick
him up. Was the Y398.
What is Y? Is that the part? Is a part number?
That's what I'm asking you. What model was the Y398?
Like motorcycle model. Like.
Yeah, so like we have like a WL.
The Y.
Not like swimsuit model. This is Harley history.
880, right, XL883, yeah. Similar, yeah.
Yeah.
I just want to say it's about time we got to the hard ones.
Yeah. It's been such a cakewalk.
Brought me down here for this. It's about time.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Just take your time. We got all day.
Yeah.
Warren says IDK. Scott says Panhead. Jeremy says Milwaukee 8. Well, nobody got the answer right.
Really?
The correct answer is snowmobile.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. Now, this is put out in the 70s by AMF. And from what I read, it was like they already had an AMF snowmobile called like the Ski Daddler, the Scoodaddler.
Mm-hmm. They called me in high school.
When they acquired Harley Davidson, they were like, well, we'll just call it the Harley snowmobile, you know? Put it. Orange and black on it.
Is that in the is it in the serial number? Like Y398, like the FL or the?
Yeah, it actually was right across the bodywork.
It was the CC.
Yeah,
like it was a four stroke,
two stroke.
Mm-hmm.
It was a two stroke. Yes,
two stroke 400.
Oh, I don't remember. I think it is a two stroke.
Yeah,
it was a bit of a beat. I mean, it was physically fair. It was like a 500-pound sled.
It was the Aramaki guy,
but it handled really well.
Same motor as the Aramaki?
No.
Or same people golf that made it?
No, I don't know.
No?
I don't know. I know it wasn't them, though.
Hmm.
And 398 was the CC.
Yes. Often people just call it the 400.
Yeah. It makes sense.
398.
Okay.
I still won't remember
the
next time I'm asked that.
I like it that they were honest. They're like, it's 398. We're not
that one I'm
going to
remember for the rest of my life.
Right. It's 398.
It's because it's like a metric conversion or something. It's different. Is that, don't they do that on like the...
I mean, they still do that to this day with most
all dirt bikes are like that. They're like, technically, this is not...
It's 74 inches. We're not going to round it up to 75. No, it's 74.
No wishy-washy.
Straight shooters over here.
Yeah.
All right, number 13. Metric we're back system. To laws and regulations. I can see the excitement now over there, Jeremy.
I can't wait.
Doing a very good job of hiding it. In 1975, government regulations required this motorcycle component's location to be swapped to the opposite side. In 1975. Government regulations required this motorcycle's component's location to be swapped to the opposite side. This motorcycle's component's location to be swapped to the other side. This was a good one.
Thanks.
One more time.
Is this true or false?
In 1975, government regulations required this motorcycle's component's location to be swapped to the opposite side.
This isn't company-wide or model-wide. Is this just one specific?
This is a regulation, so model, a federal regulation.
Or is it all models?
It was a family.
Ooh. Ooh.
Can I call foul on that right there? Rousing an official?
Yeah.
Rubbing an official?
What have you been doing this whole time? Mister, will you spell out every word in this question for me, please? And then repeat?
Yeah. I want to win.
I have to say, it would be... Never. I'll just defend my answer.
Fine, let's go.
I mean, I'll defend my answer.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. Defend that shit.
You guys ready? Show me your answers. Shifter brake from Warren? Oh, Scott's not even
yeah,
done.
Okay,
oh.
Okay.
Oh.
No, listen.
I blew it. Tim, what are you laughing at?
That's a good,
can you do this better?
That's a good answer.
Oh, Scott says horn. Jeremy says...
Sprocket.
Wrong.
Sprinkle?
Spinket? That's not the answer. Is it sprocket?
Yeah.
You were close. You were really close. Shift lever on XL model.
Motherfuck, that's what I was going to... So that's correct.
Yeah.
So the government regulations required this motorcycle's component. So the way I read that is this motorcycle's components location. I mean, it's hard to read and hear what the question is.
That's a tricky question.
Yeah. Yeah. Is we answering what model or what component, the shift lever on X models? Because we went from right side to left side. The big twin models always shifted on the left.
So
Chris,
it would be
how do you defend your
Ironhead?
Yes.
So,
yeah.
So
the 75, 76.
Because they're on the other side for flat track.
Well, that's where the sprocket side comes from, right? We're always turning left. That's why they put the sprocket on the other opposing side. But we still had contracts to build the cases for another couple years when that regulation came into place. So they end up making this, it's a multi-link contraption that went through the frame and had a 15-inch shift lever to get it over onto the left side.
Worked really well.
It's hard to find an original one. I mean, the good thing was it's a mechanical brake, so everyone just swapped it pretty easily and quickly.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the biggest thing to note here is that I'm winning.
Damn it.
You know, I've had some ups and downs in my answers as well, but I never wrote horn, okay? Just want you to know that.
You did write sprinket.
Yeah, you did write sprinket. Sprinkle.
It's located right between the, you know. Uh-huh.
Sprinkle. The twangle.
That was 13?
Yes.
Now we're on the 14. 14. All right, back to Harley history. You guys are really good with this one.
Yeah,
so.
Crushing it.
What was the first year for the Popsicle Kickstart pedal? A lot of confidence in the room. When I renumbered them, I didn't like take into account anything except for just renumbering them.
I mean, this one could be good.
I think so.
Yeah.
It's definitely eclectic. I like it. All right, so looks like Jeremy has figured out something to put down over there that he is going to call an answer.
This was true or false, right?
Yeah, we're just waiting on Warren. I think he's touching up his chopper drawing.
Yeah.
Delaying the fact that he doesn't know the answer to this question.
I feel like we need to have like a my first answer, but also have like a B answer.
Haven't you just put it in parentheses like this is what I thought originally? Or just cross, instead of erase it, just cross it out so we can still read it. And then, you know,
if it's not that,
we
I think
can be
it's
like,
definitely,
well, you had it right, but you don't get points.
No, me. Yeah, but like might be.
I mean, you don't get to submit to
answers. No.
But if you want to show us that you were on the right track at some point,
yeah,
if that like helps out your ego,
yes,
you know, whatever
it would,
makes
it
you
would
feel
help.
Better.
Because
ego scaffolding,
Warren, what do you got? 50. All right, so Scott says 58, but he was leaning towards 52.
Pick 52. What does that account for?
Jeremy says 52. That just accounts for lack of confidence. 14. 1963. It replaced the bicycle pedal. Now, the Popsicle Kickstart pedal, that's just the traditional, like, tapered rubber.
All rubberized.
All rubberized.
63, huh?
Yeah.
Really?
Bigger than you'd think.
Before that, it was just the bicycle pedal with the little...
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah.
much from the beginning, 1950.
Wow.
Wow. It went that late.
Well,
what year was the last Kickstart you could purchase? You know, Kickstarted from...
75? 75?
No.
You could get 86. Like, or 85.
Kickstart only.
Yeah, Kickstart only.
Oh. Kick and only. Yes. So it would be, referring to the XL.
It was an FX. Yeah. I had an FX. 75
kick
at,
only?
Yeah, FX.
Oh, that makes sense. Yep.
Yeah,
I'm thinking FXE, which is
really? 74.
75.
5.
FX. You know, that's what the paperwork I got said.
Well, I thought it was earlier, like a boat tail didn't have, you know, it had the.
Well, you could get the electric start option, but like that was the last time they offered a kick only, from my knowledge.
What year?
75.
Really?
We need to fact check Google on that one.
I thought you could still.
Yeah, can we get someone in here that knows something about motorcycles? Does anybody have a phone or something we can check?
Oh my god, this is a tough audience. Over here.
I thought you could still get a kicker only up to and past the last year of the shovel.
It was kick and electric.
Huh. Yeah. Kick and electric.
The only it wasn't so. It would have had to been electric start. It would have been the first year of electric start, right?
No, because they didn't put electric start on every model.
Got it. Okay, it's so technical.
Huh.
It's crazy.
Because they're doing the same thing on Google that we're doing
just
right
like
now.
Here.
There wasn't ever a kicker. You couldn't even get a kicker for an Evo, right?
I
thought that there
were
84.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Because when they were transitioning, they were still using kicker transes, even though on the line, because they still had them left over, right?
Mm-hmm. You were just talking about that with the shovel heads.
Yeah.
Well, the first soft-tail frames were 4-speed
only. That's what I thought. So that's why I was thinking 85.
The first soft-tail frames were 4-speed only?
Yes.
Hmm. Okay.
All right, number 15, some more Harley history for you.
All right.
The standard color for the 1922 models was, multiple choice, A, Brewster Green, B, Piano Black, C, Renault Gray, or D, not A? I mean, none of the above.
22?
The standard color for the 1922 models was A, Rooster Green, B, Piano Black, C, Renault Gray. Am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
Renault Gray. Yep. Or D, not A. Trying to help you out here, Jim.
I appreciate that. Okay.
Got you. I don't need any more confusion, so.
All right, let's do this then, huh?
Ready? Show them.
I think Warren, it's definitely A.
Scott says
A.
Green. Jeremy says A. Everybody says Brewster Green.
That or C.
Got it right.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
3 for 3. Is that the second time that's happened?
Yes.
Yeah, we're all in.
Good. Both times you put some hard ones in there, yeah.
All the colors were utilized in the earliest years, but Piano Black and Renault Gray were last seen in 1916.
Right there, right? That's like a kind of a light green.
Yeah, so in 17, right, U.S. goes into World War One. We enter in war, and Harley-Davidson's right there with 20,000 motorcycles supported. For the next 5 years, everything was olive green. Mm-hmm. And then in 22, they changed the hue on the green, and it became Brewster green. In fact, if you go to Juneau, you look at a lot of the walls and the pillars and stuff, they're green because they had so much paint left over.
Really?
They just started using them on the walls.
Interesting. That's cool.
Well, you learn something new every day.
All right.
Number 16, back to faces and places.
Mm-hmm. This is mine. This is where I'm strong, yeah, with people's names.
Often referred to as Harley-Davidson's fifth founder, this Chicago native prospered as the owner of a piano tool manufacturing business prior to his involvement with Harley-Davidson.
So what's the question?
Often referred to as Harley-Davidson's fifth founder,
mm-hmm,
this Chicago native prospered as the owner, mm-hmm, of a piano tool manufacturing business prior to his involvement with Harley-Davidson.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so the question would go, and who is that person?
Often referred to as Harley-Davidson's fifth founder, this Chicago native.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Prospered as the owner of a piano tool manufacturing business prior to his involvement with Harley-Davidson.
What year?
No year.
No year. Well, I have no clue.
Did you put not A?
No.
All right, show us your answers.
All right.
Warren says Joe Baldwin. All right.
I said John Baldwin.
Scott says Steve Yamaha. Jeremy says true.
That's right. I want to say that was a true statement that you said, and you never asked a question.
All the correct answer last, and now nobody got that right. C.H. Lamb. And C.H. is short for Carl Herman, and I believe he was the first dealership.
He was.
Outside of this area.
In the period? In the world.
In the world.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He was, he was right there from the get-go. He met the Davidson boys in September of 1904 at a Milwaukee race. He's probably one of the earliest motorcyclists actually in the area on, like, the southern east area of Lake Michigan. He was actually racing in that race when he met the boys and gave him a lot of support. I mean, he was a very successful toolmaker for pianos. He was from Germany. Immigrated here, mm-hmm, was one of the original board members. He really helped them out when they needed it.
Did he help out with the tool making for like the production and all?
Yeah. I mean, they got a lot of it from their oldest brother, William, as well, because he worked over in the railroad and he had access to a lot of tools. But CH had an actual tool shop. He could help build tools.
Hmm.
So I want to go back. You said that he was the first dealer.
Yes.
Not outside of Milwaukee, but...
The first dealer period?
First dealer period.
Period, yeah.
So there's these race meets happening. Where are these participants buying their motorcycles?
Well, we're not the first motorcycle company.
Yeah.
Right? So he was, I think at the time he may have been racing Indians or, I mean, we had...
Was there a Henderson plant in Chicago?
Thor.
Pope.
Yale.
There was a lot of them.
And he was
the first Harley-Davidson dealership.
Yes.
Where was it at?
Chicago.
Oh.
So you were buying them factory direct. If you had one, you kind of knew who made them. And
Harley.
Harley's, yes. Right. Mm-hmm. Okay.
That's a very interesting fact that I will pull out at my next cocktail party.
Wait, his name is Lang? L-A-N-G-E?
Yeah.
No E. I think it's just L-A-N-G-E.
Any relation to really. Our good friend Michael?
There's an E on that
one. I think we would have. Yeah. All right.
All right, number 17.
You're sure it's not Stevie Yamaha?
Hey, before we get into 17, let's get one more score update. What's happened?
We do have a leader now. And that would be Warren with 5.
Ooh.
So he's broken the danger factor.
The danger index?
The danger index is blown
Scott's
out of the water.
At 3 and Jeremy's at 4. Okay. Real close.
Okay. Wow.
Could still be anything.
I got some tiebreakers here, so I hope we get to those.
All right.
Warren, they're coming. Fair. Number 17, Harley history. What was the first Harley-Davidson model to boast the iconic bar and shield on the fuel tank? What was the first Harley-Davidson model to boast the iconic bar and shield on the fuel tank? See, Scott, he was, like, looking into my eyes for the answer. He was like, it's in there. He's in there. Is there, like, a reflection you're seeing or something?
So I put.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that he might be leading because he's able to look at the other answers before he.
I wrote it down.
Well, this time.
I write it down, I put it down, and then
you start
I
looking at everybody else's.
I won't pick it back up
if I look.
Okay.
All right.
Please
I'm ready.
Don't. Let's review
him.
The footage.
Let's see him. Jeremy, what do you got? Panhead. Scott says shovel head. Warren says shovel head.
That's it. Yes.
Cafe Racer in 1977, the XLCR. Isn't there one like within viewing proximity? Mm-hmm. And almost. Yeah, Tim's gonna go over there and
fire it up. Fire that thing up.
For us.
A lot of people called
what year?
That bike a show.
77. They do. You're right.
They're all on Craigslist.
Yeah. And, the words here were fuel tank. Earlier models had boasted the bar and shield in various places, but not on the fuel tank.
Right, like the knucklehead oil tank. Did it have a bar and shield on it?
We did. we had it all over the place. As early as actually 1908, we had it on our toolbox.
Really?
A lot of years we had it on the steering head with that patent, you know, the infamous one
thing.
With the patent scroll below it. That was on the steering head for a long time, but never on the fuel tank until 1977.
Wow. I would have never thought that.
Which was a big deal, because if you looked at the side cover, they took the AMF and dropped it down there. So they're really kind of, even at that time,
differentiating.
Yeah.
Hmm. All right.
Okay.
Well, let's see how many more we can get wrong.
Well, you've not got a lot left.
Three more to get wrong, Warren.
Catch up to this. You're only 1 point away.
I know.
1 point away. You got it, Jeremy. Mm-hmm. Back to faces and places.
Watch out, Warren.
In 1961, Harley-Davidson purchased a factory in the North Woods of Wisconsin that quickly became the sole supplier of fiberglass parts. What town is this factory in?
Oh, Jeremy's going to get that right. We were just there.
Okay, stop talking.
This guy... In 1961, Harley-Davidson purchased a factory in the North Woods of Wisconsin that quickly became the sole supplier of fiberglass parts. What town is this factory in? Oh, everybody's ready to go.
Yeah, we're ready.
Your answers.
And I know.
Warren says Tomahawk. Scott, now Scott's changing his answer.
No, I'm not. I'm not changing it. No, I was putting my B answer.
Tomahawk?
Yeah.
Tomahawk. You guys all got it right.
Really?
Yeah. What is your B answer?
Almost Hurley.
I was putting Merrill.
This is good. I figured you guys would get this one.
You got this wrong. You don't know local.
I did not.
Yep.
Know.
You don't know local
I was
history.
Like, why would he ask a freaking question?
Tell
like
us about this. Why of Tomahawk of all places? Is it trains? Is there wood involved?
There was a factory.
It was already a fiberglass
factory.
They were making boats there, and that was an industry we needed to get into. And it made, it still does to this day.
Don't they do seats or something there too?
Well, most seats were over on up right up the street on Costco.
I thought they did performance stuff up there, R&D. Do they?
Mm-mm.
No.
Tomahawk.
Just body stuff.
No, I mean, and really, even until recently, if I could be wrong, still recently, they make it for the world.
Really?
So all the fairings, the saddlebags, the side covers, all through that little town of Tomahawk.
Really?
Where most of the town is employed by Harley-Davidson.
Good people, salt of the earth.
Yeah.
So the score remains.
You guys were just up there?
Yeah.
Yeah. They have a rally.
It wasn't
up
just
there
up there. Probably 3 years ago, to put things in perspective.
I was there sooner than that.
Oh. We were there together about together, 3 years ago.
Yeah.
To the rally.
We're the rally. Great rally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great. And we have a buddy who owns has a house up there, and we go up there snowmobiling.
Oh, nice.
But you couldn't do this year because there was no snow.
No snow.
No snow.
I mean, is that going to keep you from bringing it to the bar tonight?
Yeah. Unfortunately, Dan, it will not make the trip.
That's where you draw the line.
Nobody's offered nobody's offered the free beer if you ride your snowmobile to the bar yet.
See those eyes light up?
Calling the all beer. All right, what are we at, 19?
So,
yep, 19. Yeah. Back to Harley history. What is a chummy car?
Excuse me?
Look at the confidence over there on Jeremy. What is a chummy car? And our first answer is, what is a chummy car?
A chummy car. Sure, that's not Spanish? Is it chumiker?
I think we should, because that's just...
You think so?
I think so.
Just
I think
pronouncing it wrong?
Well, we know that someone in green at the end is going to... make a deal about.
Yeah, well, he's going to make a deal no matter what. Okay, I just
about
feel like
specifics and you know anything within walking distance if you got the time.
I guess. All right, we'll go with this answer just because these guys look like they need help.
Okay. Says who?
All right, what is a chummy car? Everybody ready? Let's see your answer.
Well, everybody knows this, Dan.
Says sidecar.
It's where you put your
Scott
old fish
says
bones.
Put your fish bones.
And does anybody want to debate that with me? Because my old grandpappy had one of them.
A sidecar. Specifically a two-person sidecar.
Oh.
Which I did not know that there was a difference between a single person and a two-person.
I didn't even know there was a two-seater.
Panhead sidecar. That's a single? Yeah, that's a single.
Is that why those boats are so big? Because they had two seats in them?
No, those are. I've never seen a dual.
Yeah, some of the earliest ones were two seater.
Huh.
Again, we got one here.
Really?
We can go look at. Yeah.
All right. Well,
out in the or in the private.
Put the
fishbone in the annex.
Yeah. Because those panhead ones, the openings are so big.
Yeah.
But
you're sitting on the bus. There's only one seat.
Yeah, here, the two-person is a side-by-side.
Oh, a side-by-side.
Yeah.
So there's one on each side, or there's two together?
Two together.
Yeah, I think as early as 18 on our Q or QL models, which really just delineated between left or right side of when you wanted to order it.
But there were two. You were in the same body on the same side.
Yes.
Yeah, it was during a time when we were promoting, like, this is a family adventure.
Yeah
trying to compete with the Jeep.
Technically, my Panhead's sidecar is a three-seater as well.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, because I put two people in it.
Oh, right, yeah.
Did they get a point for sidecar?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I did it for the bit. I just want to know. I just want you to know.
See?
I just want you to know. Sidecar was obvious. I sacrificed for comedy.
Oh, my God.
You see what I do for you people?
Your whole life.
All right, hey, well, there's still a chance.
I mean... Even you have to get two right, and there's only one question left.
Okay, let's do it. I hope it's names.
Oh, man, it's true or false.
Okay.
Harley history.
Mm-hmm.
Slate gray was the only color option for the 1983 XR1000. True or false? Slate gray was the only color option for the 1983 XR1000. Let's see the answers. True, false, false. Damn, Warren just swept the floor with y'all.
Wow. No way.
Slate gray was the only color option in 1983 for the XR1000.
Give me the tiebreaker.
Really?
Come on. I'm not done yet. Give me the tiebreaker.
No. We're going to do that.
How did you?
But let's get a final score. What do we end up at?
Final score.
I've never remembered seeing
Well, we actually had another tie.
Weird gray.
Really? Hang on, people. We have an award ceremony.
Oh, yeah.
So we do need to figure out who comes in last, I guess.
Yes, we do.
But we do have a tie at second between Scott and Jeremy at 5 points. But, yeah, Warren got 8.
Dang.
Technically nine.
You've doubled the danger index.
Technically nine because of my picture drawing.
Which is, I was which humble is, and didn't which accept it, which is very
this
good.
Guy.
I didn't accept it.
Fair.
Well, let's get down to the, you know, the real question is who got last?
Mm-hmm. Let's do it right now.
Chris put together some tiebreakers. Like the way the tiebreakers work is
it's a
number question. And, I mean, that actually was my first request when I told him we needed some tiebreakers. I was like, you could either put together some questions or I could let them pick any bike in the museum and drag race it.
Mm-hmm.
Or we
that
could
would
just
be
fight.
Cool. That's the one and you guys chose.
Say?
That's
they,
awesome.
They pick questions.
What did they say when you asked them that? Oh, really?
Oh.
Tim didn't even laugh. I mean, now he's laughing. But he didn't laugh the first time I asked him.
I'm not laughing.
Because I was serious.
I know you were. I didn't even
I would love that.
All right, so it's going to be a number question.
Dan, have you seen these tiebreakers?
I did, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I read them.
How did you do on these tiebreakers?
I didn't get them right. Well, I didn't nail them. But I also had the answers right in front of me. So it's going to be like a question of numbers, and it's going to be the closest one to the actual number wins. So for this first one, how many years was the 45 cubic inch flathead engine in production? How many years was the 45 cubic inch flathead in production? Did I say 1945?
Is it like?
How many years was the 45 cubic inch flathead engine in production? Would you keep that closer to your mouth?
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Warren's over here doing some math.
I don't know what's so hard about this question.
Jeremy's
it's a number.
Kind of disappointed in the rest of his guys for being so slow.
I don't know what year.
Can I put like 5, 6 backup numbers? Just for my own ego?
You got plenty of room on the whiteboard, I'm sure.
Yeah, as small as you're riding, you can put
We'll call those Viagra numbers, if you will.
Is the VL a 45?
Scott seems like he's struggling doing math while we're talking.
Do you know
that? Yeah.
Anybody need ball fingers, toes? How many years was the 45 cubic inch flathead engine in production?
Can I go on?
I mean, it's closest to the number.
All right, I like
you
it.
Know?
I like it.
I mean, if I would have specified that early on, we could have.
So it's not exact. It's not exact. It's closest to.
Yeah. But
and by the way, if you go over, you're
if
out.
If he loses, do you? This is serious for Scott, okay? If he gets this wrong and
yeah,
loses
I have
to
nothing
you,
to lose, actually. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like the Detroit Lions.
Did you
Warren's got an answer.
An hour and a half ago.
Yeah.
All right. Let's see him. Warren says 54. Scott says 26. And Jeremy says
14. Mm-hmm.
The answer is 44 years.
What? Really?
1929 through 1973.
1973? I thought the Survey cars went later than they go in the 80s.
I thought it was I thought it was 61, and I thought that they started no, don't. Math is not my thing. I thought it started in. I thought it was 38 to 61.
24. No, 29 was the first year?
Yes.
29 was the first year, yeah.
29?
Does a V L?
Mm-hmm.
V L.
All right. Well,
okay.
Yeah. Okay. Hey. We're not. So who won that?
Well, Scott did.
Scott did. Two. Scott yeah. did.
Okay. Can we have more tiebreakers?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And Warren doesn't. You don't need to give yourself any more points, Warren.
I just
Warren, okay. I'm just saying. Scott
like
already feels bad
Warren.
Enough.
Wait, 29-71.
First off, for winning the first ever.
No way.
Yes, let's hear it for Warren.
Robin tried flat out. Friley Harley Davidson Museum.
Good job.
Trivia game. It's
good
pretty
job.
Sweet.
Yeah. It's really
first
good.
Annual.
Yeah.
Where's
yeah.
this?
We're gonna do this again.
Okay. Thank God.
But yeah, you guys want to do another tiebreaker?
Yeah, let's, these are pretty great.
Yeah.
Juicy.
I appreciate your knowledge base on this. I appreciate all knowledge base on the way that you articulate and just throw out this the details of these things is impressive. It just tells me that you're scratching your depth of knowledge in this.
Well, thank you.
Yeah,
and I
agree. Being serious, because I'm not.
Yeah,
he's definitely being serious.
Yeah. I mean, absolutely.
Whether he's lying or not, I'm taking
if I, if I were to read this, it wouldn't have nearly as much connection to you telling it to me. Okay, does this make sense? So I'm honored that you're telling it to me.
Yeah, I appreciate it too, because you're the furthest away.
If I would have read this in a book, right? It wouldn't have. It doesn't have the power.
It doesn't resonate. Yeah.
Yes,
jack of all, master of none.
Yeah. Okay, come on, give me these. I'm hot.
2007 was a record-breaking year for total motorcycle production number. 2007 was a record-breaking year for total motorcycle production number. How many motorcycles did Harley Davidson produce in 2007? Thought you were hot over there.
Oh yeah. That was a sound. Was the sound of,
that was the sound of confidence.
Of confidence. Yeah.
I apologize for anybody watching this.
Yeah.
That's what I say every day of my life. Every day in my classroom as well, by the way.
All right, let's see. What do we got? Warren says 237,824.
Really?
Scott says 1.4 million. Wow.
Really? It's not in the millions?
Jeremy says 1.3 million. 369,766.
What? That was the peak?
I am way
in
off.
2007.
It's okay. Just,
no,
it's all
right. I was like, I fucking know this because I thought that for some reason.
Yeah,
thought,
Jeremy said the same thing.
I thought worldwide production like 2 years ago was like 800,000. I swear to God, I read that somewhere.
You're thinking of our net income.
Bang. Got you. That's a good one. That's a good one.
Oh, that's good. That was
how many?
369,766.
Three fucking what the fuck?
Yeah,
if it was
I hear
a metric, you. They'd round it to 400,000.
Hmm. What'll blow your mind about that is, right, we're such a globally known entity.
Brand, yeah.
We're a very small company.
Right.
Last I knew, we had less than 5,000 employees worldwide. When you compare that to, like, General Motors, who has, like, 110,000 employees, it's pretty amazing.
You said that year was the largest output of motorcycles total. What was that number of global output?
That
was the number.
That was it. 369,000.
No, for all
2007.
It was all makers.
No.
All makers.
All makes, all models. You know, how many motorcycles are produced a
year? This is the Harley Davidson Museum.
Thank you. I can't ask
that's exactly how I
any slanted questions. I mean, globally, I mean, are they making a million motorcycles a year globally?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's...
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
Okay.
They're selling, I think in India, they'll sell like a million motorcycles like in a month.
Okay. All right, that's it. Thank you for putting things in perspective. Thank you for putting... Okay, but I want to further that a little more. You brought up cars. So how many cars are produced annually in the United States?
I don't know. Too many wheels.
Did he forget this is the motor Harley Davidson
okay,
Museum?
I'm sorry.
I like this bit. I don't know the answer.
Well, let me quantify. I'm giving this. You know, if we're going to shout out to Harley Davidson. That's because these motorcycles are much more uniquely made. In they're much more prized made. They're not pumped out.
Yeah.
like
other things.
Like
are
other
pumped
things.
Out when you do that.
Yeah.
Shows the power of marketing.
So the quality.
We have.
He just went off the rails. Hey, I want to thank the museum
okay.
for letting us come out here and do this.
For my last time being here, thank you very much.
Have me to town for this party. I'm looking
clap
forward to the rest of
let's
the
let's clap it up for Danger Dan.
Mama try.
All right.
All right.